In the 10th chapter of Joshua, we encounter a situation where they had conquered Jericho, they had conquered where they were supposed to be, and they had amassed the ability to overcome problems one by one. But what had happened, as the enemy that was surrounding that area caught word that they had conquered that area, there was one king that sent forth word to four other kings that they bind together as an alliance to come against those that lived in that area in Jericho. And as they had begun to grow weary, wondering if they were going to win the battle, something began to happen. When I begin to think about this, I hear the word of their cry. I believe it's in the 6th verse of the 10th chapter where they're saying, "We need you to come and save us because we're overwhelmed. Life is easy to handle when it's just one thing here and one thing there. But oh, friends, have you ever been where it's a mist of problems on every side of our life?" How many of us have been there tonight? I've been there before. Jehoshaphat had been there before. But there was one scripture that spoke out to me, that got a hold of me, and made me want to bring this to you. Let's read verse 6, 7, and 8. "And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us." So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And then the Lord spoke. Here it comes. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." So instead of letting this overwhelming feeling keep him from doing what he was called to do, Joshua took all that God had given him to win the battles that he had already won, and they set forth to go to battle. He didn't go with the confidence in the warriors that won the land before. He didn't go in confidence of the weapons that they possessed to win the battle. Because when you put one kingdom against five, chances are you're already outmanned, you're already outgunned, they've got better protection, they had a better strategy. The enemy thinks when he's looking at your problems that he's got every problem that he can put on you to keep you from prospering. But then something happens, and the word of God comes to remind us that he has given us all of that. Oh, friend, he has given us all of it. And I'm going to get to the one thought that is pricking my spirit more than anything. As they go forth into battle, they needed an opportunity. They needed daylight to win. And God loved this army so much that as they prayed for the sun to stand in one area, it stood still. And as they needed darkness in another, the midnight came upon that. Don't ever let anybody ever tell you that when you need God to deliver you, that the sun won't stand still. Don't ever let anybody persuade you otherwise, that God's not able to touch your situation. Don't ever let any preacher or anybody ever make you think that you've got to have them to get there. As long as you know Jesus Christ, you know the way. And if you know the way, you know the way to victory. Let me read some of this that God put in my spirit. God will ensure the strength within you to tackle not only your present problems, but through this victory, and will help you to pursue, say pursue, the things that remain in you that could try to rebuild another attack. As you read in verse 9 through 15, they go to attack, the sun stood still. They avenge themselves upon their enemies. And the Bible even says in verse 14 that there was no other day like it. How many of you remember something in your life that God did that there was nothing else that could compare to what God did that day? I have one of those days. Some of you are so tired of hearing it, but I'm going to force feed you anyway. I was bound by drugs for 8.5 years of my life. It had even been prophesied to my own ear that destruction was my end, yet I still continued. But through the prayer of faith and the love of God through a few people in this world, I was able to be delivered and set free and created as a new creature in Jesus Christ. And that tells me that I have a day that is not like any other day. If the Lord has saved your soul, friend, hand. There's a day in your life that doesn't compare like any other day, because there had to come a Jesus so that you would have freedom from your sin. The freedom of sin was paid for by Christ, and it is kept. Say kept. Kept by our daily fight and pursuit. Somebody say pursuit. The pursuit of anything that would cause us to stumble. Let's read it, verse 16. They'd already beat up on these five kings so much that they finally had to sound the retreat. Verse 16 says, but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave in Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue. Somebody say, pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God. I'm going to pause on this for a second. He hath delivered them into your hand. Somebody ought to praise him for that. Somebody ought to praise him for that. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad that when he saved my dying soul, that I found the forgiveness of sin. But he didn't leave it right there, Brother Derek, because he saw that problems were going to come and try to overwhelm me. But he gave all of that to me by the Spirit of God, that when I look at my problems today, it tells me not to cower in fear and be afraid and be a coward to face the present world, but to use his anointing to pursue the things that would try to hinder me. You're waiting on God to change it all before you'll ever get up and move. But the Spirit is there in you so that you'll go and pursue the things that need to change in your life. He don't want you to wait forever for a moment to happen where you say that all is well. He's wanting you to go after it. You want to be a great singer? Go after it. Stop living in fear. You want to be a great person in your job? Don't be afraid anymore. Pursue the things that you are afraid of, that you cannot conquer. I felt that go out to somebody. There are dreams that the devil destroys, not just by making us feel worthless, but by problems that keep us from ever moving at all. I had many things come up when I heard the call to preach that I had every reason to say, no, this isn't for me. Tried to cower and be afraid of my calling. But if I had sat down where God called me, I would still be at my first job. I would still be at my first house. I would still be suffering under bondages of things that I've been delivered from today. I have let go and forgive people. I have learned to love people I never thought I could. God has brought me through things that I didn't wait on him to do. But I went after it and said, I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. You think you can't get past this, but you can, because it has been delivered unto you as you know Christ. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you know him, then it has been delivered unto you. The Word of God says in the New Testament to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Let's read verse 19. I promised you it wouldn't be long tonight. We're getting to the dessert, like we said Friday. For those of you that were here, I love dessert. That's my favorite part. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not. That means don't even humor them a chance. Don't give them an opportunity to get in. That's so important, because that's where the devil's getting in our lives. We're letting it happen. We're letting him in. We're letting discouragement just sit in our mind all day long. We're letting worthlessness sit in our mind all day long. You mean to tell me you're going to let somebody else talk to you bad and make you feel bad about the God that's in you? I will to God that we all realize that there are no words that could ever destroy what God has anointed to live. God was just as faithful to give Joshua victory over five enemies as he was to give him victory over just one. And that's because numbers do not intimidate God. We preached Friday that there is no timetable in God's plan. And just because we want it fast doesn't mean that if we got it fast that it was his will for our lives. We've got to remember that he works things in his time, because his ways are above our ways. The more enemies there are, the greater the opportunity is for God to demonstrate his power. So don't focus on the challenges you face, but focus on God instead. Don't allow the various challenges among you to discourage you, because God is watching over you. Look over at somebody and tell your neighbor, God's watching you. He's watching over your life, and he is more than able to handle your problems. How many believe that in here? If you do, say, I believe it. I believe it too. Makes me wonder how we ever have a problem worshiping the Lord. Makes me ever wonder how we ever come in church believing that we're not able to conquer the land that God has already, somebody say already, already given us, already provided, already give us through his anointing. Blows my mind. But problems come. And that's where he's wanting us to pursue the problem. That don't mean go and punch them in the face because they made you mad. That's not what we're talking about. That doesn't mean you go give them this piece of your mind and tell them off and think that you've won. That don't fix anything. You can do all that you want to try to fix it on your own, but nothing will ever prosper if you tried to do it. Had they tried to win that battle 1-5 without God, they would have surely been destroyed. How many of you know that? Even if they had won over against 1 or 2, eventually their strength would have faded. And you can try to live in this world without God and him first in your life all you want to. But if other things take precedence, those will be the first things that get destroyed in your life. If you love your car more than the Lord, you better be ready for a flat tire on the shoulder. If you love somebody else more than the Lord, you better be expecting problems in your relationship. If you love food more than you love God, chances are that next steak might make you sick. You never know about what's going to come that'll cause you to lose your desire for the things you love more than God. He will not tolerate idolatry. He will not tolerate it. He will not let something live in his temple that has been called to be pursued and not let in. So what do we do? How do we pursue, brother? What can I do? Well, bless God, I've got a scripture for you to read with me tonight. And this is what I'm closing with. You can look over at your neighbor, high five him, and say, thank God, we're going to get home early. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read from verse 4 through to verse 9. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That means be aware of your surroundings. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. That's why you got to come and pray. That's why you've got to communicate. That's why prayer is important. You need an outlet for this to get out of you so that God can take control of it. How many of you have never seen a pressure cooker work before? It's going to blow eventually if you keep it under pressure, and God don't want you to end up blowing somewhere in public. Oh, but don't get me back there to amen myself. That's just as true as anything we've talked about tonight. He don't want you to reach the boiling point. He don't want you to reach that point. Let's read verse 7. And I've highlighted some of these words, and I want you to say them with me. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. Say keep. It shall keep. It will be retained. He will retain your present state of heart. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and are of good report, if there be any good to use of it, if there be anything to thank God for, then dwell on these things. You want to know how you pursue your enemy? You think on the good things that God has done in your life. Because if you start thinking about some of those things long enough, you'll finally get up off that couch and say, I'm going to get to the gym and do something about this. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about personal motivation. If you're never motivated to get up in the morning and do anything with your life, chances are your dreams will be crushed. But God doesn't want you to be unmotivated. He doesn't want you to look at your problems and say, I can't do it. If it has already been promised to you, the only thing that keeps us from getting where we want to go is simply keeping motivation to get there. So we have a lot of church services where it's sometimes good, and sometimes we even feel good enough to call and tell somebody about it, and sometimes it's a holy rolling service, and you just can't even put into words how good it was. But then there's those times when you wish you could have been anywhere but there. And there's been times when that brother, if he had said one more thing, I'm walking. There's been times where if they were going to sing one more verse, oh, you think it's funny, but it's true. And I want you to look at those moments when you felt that. Do you not also see those problems that are encamped about your life? Because when we are surrounded by an ever-present enemy, fear comes in, and when fear comes in, we begin to get discouraged. And as we are discouraged, the very motivation that would cause us to get up and praise Him is just taken away from us, and we lose our mouth, and we lose our hands, we lose our tongue, we lose our train of thought, and by the time service is over, you don't even remember what the preacher read, you don't even remember what anybody sang, you don't even know how many people were there, you may not even know which side you sat on. I'm here to tell somebody right now, look around your life and stop looking at the problems and expecting them just to go away, but use the anointing of God that has been given to you to use and start fighting the good fight and get a motivation about yourself to get up and do something for the kingdom of God, because you're not here just to waste air. You're not here just to blow away oxygen. You're called to praise Him. He said, let everything that has breath. I'm warmed up now. One more verse, if I can help it. Those things which ye have both learned, say learned, and received, and heard, and seen. Let's go back over that again. The things that we have learned, the things we have received, the things we have heard, and the things we have seen. These are the things that we must learn to fight our enemy with by dwelling in it, that when the problems come, instead of shying away in fear, we begin to go towards it and say, I'm done with you, devil. I'm done with you, depression. I'm done with you, addiction. I'm done with you, oh, life of sin. I'm done with you, a life of sexuality. I'm done with you, adultery. I'm done with you, pornography. I'm done with this life. I want to be new. Learned, received. If you've got a pen, you're called to write it down. Learned, received, heard, and seen. If we use these things, what does it say that'll happen? The God of peace shall be with you. Some of us have to work a whole lot more hours than 40 hours. Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes I get tired of working. Sometimes I think, well, Lord, surely there's a place where so I could be on salary and not have to fight in this world for money. And sometimes I get weary and think, well, if I just told them I'd worked a long week and just told somebody else they could preach, maybe the Lord would understand. But you see, if I'd given it up and let somebody else have my blessing when I need peace in a situation, I would not have it. You know why? Because I'm not using what I have learned. I'm not using what I've received. I'm not using what I have heard, nor am I using the things that I have seen. That means the same thing we've been preaching here for 8 months. If He has ever blessed you with anything, we've got to get a hold of it. If He's ever blessed you with anything, these are the things you fight the devil with. If you've ever been healed, then you have the ability to pray for healing. How? Because you know of healing by what you have received. If you have been taught the truth and the word of God and know the way that you should go, He said, to whom little is given, little is required, but to whom much has given, or to someone who has learned, they're required. Because I'm telling you, if the house of God was a company, we all would have been fired by now. All of us. I would have hated to have been at my performance review. Well, Brother Jared, there was that one time that you really needed to sing and you just sat there and let it go by. So why do you think I should give you a raise? If you've ever dug in the ditch long enough and if you've ever worked hard enough, you feel justified to say, I need more. And if you're doing the work of God, you have every right to get down on your knees and pray for your dreams. But if we're just going to come in here and expect the preacher to get us out of our situation, you're deceived. It's like the blind leading the blind, because I can't change your situation. Only the thing we're talking about can change your situation. That's what the Lord gave me earlier. If the church of God was a company, we'd all been fired. And you know what human resources is? His omnipresence. Oh, yeah. Tonight's going to end. You'll go home and say, man, that preacher was crazy tonight. Maybe you'll say, the presence of God was awesome. I don't know what you'll say, but I don't care about that. You know what I care about? The next time you face trouble. That's what I'm talking to you about tonight. Everybody else can have their turn and their opinion with you, but tonight is my time right now to tell you, I'm concerned about your problems and not your success. Don't think your success is going to get you through your problems. The success is as a result of something being given to you that you didn't even deserve to have. I don't deserve to live where I live. I don't deserve to have the job that I have. I don't deserve the cars I drive. I don't deserve the clothes I wear. Everything I have in comparison to who I was before God found me is nothing that I'm worthy to possess. So how can we let pride overtake us to think that we're too good to praise Him? How can we let what God has not wanted us to squander be thrown away so easily when it comes time to face a real problem? I feel the enemy moving, but I'm here to tell him tonight that we've learned the way to battle our problems. And I'm telling the power of darkness that you've got to turn loose of 13th Street, Church of God. I'm telling somebody tonight that it's time to get on with your life and to deal with the problems the right way. In closing, I leave you with this thought. Precious is the time that you have left to live. And how you live is what will be remembered. And what will be forgotten is the things you never do. So do something great. Make a difference to somebody. I don't care how. Do something. I don't care who it's to. Do something. What an opportunity to witness to somebody. Don't squander it. Don't throw it away. Don't worry about being trendy with the world. And hallelujah, get to where you get on your business with Christ. Because I'm tired of the same problems. I didn't say different ones. I'm saying the same ones. I'm tired of the merry-go-round experience. Where on one side of it, you think that you finally got away from it, and then something comes back in full circle, and you're right back where you were. I'm tired of that. But the Lord has given us an opportunity, a way of escape, if you will. And that's through what we know, through what we've been given, what we have beheld, and what He has taught us. Do something great with your life. If you don't know what it is yet, pray, and God will show you. Don't rush into anything without feeling the peace of God. Because what tells me in that scripture in Philippians, then when I dwell in His presence and all the good things He's done, that I'll be at peace with my life. So the house I'm in today may cave in. I might pull in the driveway and see it gone. But it does not change the peace of God in me. Sickness might come and try to prevail. Cancer may come and try to rip life right out of my hand. But the peace of God will not change. I'm talking to you right now about things that without God you will not overcome. And I'm here to tell you, you take the things God, open up your hand like this and close it like that tonight. You've been such a good participator. Bless God, I'm going to brag about you all week. Just get a hold of that right now with your hand. If God's given you anything, you just get a hold of it and pray tomorrow and say, thank you, Jesus, for your blessings. If He's done anything for you, get up tomorrow and say, though I'm weak, I'm made strong through Christ. Because He has given it to you already. Read Joshua chapter 10 and read. I didn't want to say it because we have a lot of young folks out here. But if you read the 10th chapter of Joshua, those kings didn't suffer a very eloquent death. And I'm not going to say what it says they did. You go home and read the end of that chapter and find out what happened to them. And if you think that that enemy's going to win and prosper and make you look like a fool, I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. They will be strung up and be revealed for just what they are. You don't have to worry about that stuff. Let God take care of it. And focus on the good He's given you. Do you receive this word tonight? All right, hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Go out of here and make a difference. That's what He's called you to do. Hallelujah. Somebody praise Him in the house of God. Hallelujah. 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 Go sound. Come on, praise Him. We're going to go out of here with a different kind of spirit tonight. Somebody praise Him. Somebody praise Him. We're sounding the trumpet. Victory's on the way. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Glory to God. We praise You tonight.